Carbon. What an element. You're made of it, and so am I, last time I checked. So's your cat and your potted plant. Carbon has three branches of chemistry to deal with itself. One mega branch isn't enough. There's inorganic chemistry, which handles outside relations with elements of a sundry nature. Organic chemistry is all about a kind of incestuous relationship that carbon has with itself, with almost unlimited permutations. And then thirdly, in 1985, Sir Harry Kroto and his mates announced yet another huge kingdom of carbon, posited for outer space, and then made here on Earth in the lab. It's called Buckminster Fullerene, or C60. And then carbon comes as lead in your pencil, charcoal in your fire, or diamonds around your neck, or in your watch. I like it as C2H5OH, especially from Margaret River in the form of wine, or even as a bludgeon in my hands on the cricket pitch. Trees take carbon from thin air to make their vast, weighty bulk. Carbon is also a drama queen and will feature as such in the policies of all the major parties in the election, now off and running. But today we deal with carbon in its hardest form, its most glamorous and spectacular. Here's Professor James Ribot from Macquarie University.
Diamonds, irrefutably the most coveted of gemstones, the hardest known material, brilliant and varied in color, from perfectly clear to pink, red, blue, brown, and even black. Technologically, it has enormous usage, including an ideal material for polishing, cutting, and drilling. Beyond these everyday uses, infinite new technological potential is yet to be realized. Generally, jewelry is regarded as the biggest market for diamond. It is probably true that when the word diamond is mentioned, most people think of bejeweled fingers, necks, or unfathomably large and beautiful museum pieces. However, diamond is only just beginning to glimpse its true potential. On geological timescales, a relatively recent technological feat has been realized. Diamonds can be made synthetically. In this context, do not confuse the word synthetic with fake. On the contrary, synthetic diamond is absolutely 100% real diamond, sometimes even better than natural diamond, but it is only made by artificial means and hence termed synthetic diamond. So get rid of that picture of cubic zirconia that has crept into your brain, and remember that synthetic diamond is real diamond made by synthetic means. The technology to make diamond has been around since before the laser was developed and before the first semiconductor was made. In the 1950s, basically simultaneously, a group in Russia and the company General Electric in the United States found how to make diamonds. The thought alone conjures images of ancient alchemists laboring in vain to transmute lead into gold. Unlike this form of alchemy, however, the synthesis of diamond is very real. In fact, GE scientists raised the bar on the quest to turn lead into gold by actually turning store-bought peanut butter into pure diamond. Let's start at the beginning. The most logical way to make something which is forged deep in the Earth's crust under extreme forces of pressure and heat is to try as best as you can to emulate the conditions: high pressure and high temperature. This is exactly what the pioneers of diamond synthesis did. High pressure and high temperature, or HPHT, was not a new technology, and many had previously used these systems to carry out sophisticated studies on a variety of materials. It wasn't until the right conditions were found, a recipe, if you will, which provided the conditions necessary to make diamond the stable form of carbon instead of its boring cousin, graphite. Under normal, everyday conditions, graphite is the stable form of carbon, meaning that carbon is much happier arranging itself into two-dimensional and weakly bound sheets instead of three-dimensional and tightly bound crystals. This feature of carbon is precisely why graphite is an efficient scribing tool and mechanical lubricant. The graphite sheets readily slip and shear over one another, much like two pieces of paper. Diamond, composed of exactly the same atoms, would do no such thing, and rather cuts efficiently through most materials instead of breaking apart. However, given enough energy, for example in the form of heat, diamond will rapidly convert to graphite. Yuck. Only by finding the right thermodynamic conditions is it possible to make diamond more stable than graphite. That's exactly what happens deep in the Earth's crust and exactly the conditions which were imitated in laboratories in the 1950s. GE scientists found the right pressure and the right temperature to make this happen. The key ingredient, obviously, was carbon. During the peak of this research study, it has been written that GE scientists, in order to prove their methodology, literally placed a teaspoon of peanut butter, high in carbon content, into the high-pressure and high-temperature reactor to produce a piece of diamond. The first thing people tend to think of when the word diamond is mentioned is almost certainly jewelry. Of course, why not? However, more and more in the scientific community, diamond is being recognized as a super material capable of meeting the needs across a whole range of new technological applications. Very simply, take for example cutting and drilling implements. These applications have for a long time been the driving market force behind the production of synthetic diamond. Diamond polishing, drilling, and even shaving implements can be bought cheaply at the local hardware store or supermarket. To be frank, the majority of synthetically made diamond is not big or pretty or anything approaching gem quality. Generally, it is rife with impurities and defects formed during the growth process, sometimes black or gray in color and often in the form of powder. Despite this, for the most part, synthetic diamond retains all the extreme properties of a bona fide natural diamond, hardness in particular. For long-lasting sharp and hard edges, or ultra-durable polishing materials, diamond is without equal. As a result, hardware stores, oil rigs, and any number of heavy industry manufacturers make use of so-called industrial diamond to meet the needs of cutting, polishing, and drilling of less hard materials. For a long time, this was the mainstay of industrial diamond. Through the 1980s, diamond synthesis saw a boost due to heavy investment from the U.S. government. The interest was mainly driven by the potential use of diamond in semiconductor technology, and over the course of the late 1980s and early 1990s, there was a genuine race to realize a diamond-based semiconductor chip by attempting to fabricate a diamond chip capable of performing better than a silicon computer chip. Many still strive for this dream. However, during that period, although the fabrication of practical semiconducting diamonds still lay out of reach, many other possible applications were recognized, including the use of diamond as a heat sink, a material capable of rapidly transferring heat away from a body. Despite the range of real and practical potential for diamond, the overall interest waned somewhat from the exuberance of the 1980s. However, over the last 8 to 10 years, interest has grown dramatically, and new and even more exciting possibilities lay on the horizon for synthetic diamond. It turns out that a great deal is in store, in fact, for a most unlikely member of the diamond family, nano diamond, crystals that are more than 1,000 times smaller than the width of a human hair. What is it about these tiny diamonds? Well, it comes down to the fact that they can host defects or impurity atoms. That means a diamond, which is a carbon lattice or cage, can trap other atoms or molecules inside it. And some of these so-called color centers have the ability to emit light very efficiently. It is correct in this sense to think of one tiny particle of diamond as a beacon of light. One single impurity is a single quantum object that can be used in quantum technologies. And many impurities can make a diamond useful as a light probe in biological imaging. The new class of technological applications for diamond revolve around the impurities they are able to host. Quantum technologies refer to technologies which are underpinned by the laws of quantum physics and may give rise to ultra-powerful computers or unhackable communications. In order to realize these in a practical sense, one must be able to make, measure, and control single quantum bits, or so-called qubits. Well beyond the scope of this talk, suffice it to say that impurities in diamond are a very promising avenue for quantum technologies, and groups in Australia and around the world are pursuing this topic. The quest to realize practical quantum technologies is providing ample fuel for fundamental studies and is certainly pushing the limits of our capabilities of understanding diamond. A second big area in which diamond is making waves is in biological science. For a long time, it has been a critical part of scientific discovery that we can see small objects. This has pushed development of a range of microscopy techniques, each having a different means for visualizing things on a micro or nano scale. Conventional optical microscopy simply channels light through a series of lenses in order to magnify an object. This is effective, widely used, and perfectly adequate for many applications. However, sometimes the objects are not accessible using simple microscopy, or more accurately, too small, and remain effectively invisible. Sometimes, particularly in biological sciences, we need to see how things are moving into and out of cells or tissues. One way to see an otherwise invisible object is to use fluorescent probes. These are small particles that fluoresce brightly, attached to an object of interest. The bright fluorescence is the beacon which provides a signal to locate the position of the invisible object. For example, a protein molecule by itself is essentially invisible, but by attaching bright probes like nanodiamonds, it is possible to see where they are and where they are traveling to. Existing techniques employ other types of fluorescent probes in biomedical imaging, but they can often extinguish or turn dark and may be toxic in a live body, and nanodiamonds may genuinely represent the next generation in biomedical imaging. This is just a cursory look at some of the fascinating new possibilities in store for diamond, and studying the processing, properties, and applications for nanodiamonds is one of the things we do at Macquarie University, and these are very exciting times indeed. Coupled with good funding and good people, the sky is the limit.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Sorry, I couldn't resist. A good way to sequester carbon, perhaps. James Ribot is an associate professor at Macquarie University in Sydney, as you heard, where he's a future fellow. He came here via Canada and Scotland. Next week, as we contemplate what seems the near impossibility of being governed effectively, Professor Jim Falk from Melbourne University surveys ways in which our polity could be run in the 21st century, instead of resembling a weak episode of The Biggest Loser. I'm Robin Williams.